working, and that you would just allow him to share what you would have him to. And I just pray that you would receive the honor and the glory for what is said and done this morning. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning. It's good to be here this morning. Been here a few times, but I don't remember anybody hardly. So, some of you, the first time we were here was back in 2010, just a few months after we, or a month or so after we got back from serving in Mexico and shared a presentation about Mexico. Anybody here during that time? I know there's quite a few new faces, but doesn't really matter. And then about 2 years ago, I shared a message on a Sunday morning. This morning is a little different. I'm here with my family, but also that whole bench over there. Two of my daughters are sitting over here on the pastor's bench. I'm going to introduce all of us and sort of our team there in Harrisburg. So my family first. I guess just stand. You asked if I was going to call you front, and I said no, and you said yes, but you have to stand anyway. So Krista, our oldest son Kyle is going to family week out at SMBI this week, so he had a ride out last night. So Cassie, you stand up, or at least raise your hand. And Alyssa, so Kyle's 15, he's not here, but Cassie is 14, Alyssa's 12, Dylan 10, and Gracie is 6. And like Steve Stutzman says, my wife is beautiful and I'm old, but anyway. So next, beside her, there's Suzanne Miller. You'd stand up. And Deanne Stauffer. They live in Harrisburg with us. We're going to do that a little bit. The mission house next to us on third floor. And then Kate, Hank and Kate Martin. And Ariana, AJ and Owen. That's their family. They live in High Spire, Middletown area, just about 10, 15 minutes outside of Harrisburg. Suzanne, if you play the Mennonite game, her parents serve at the orphanage, started the orphanage in Mexico, Len and Debbie Miller. She would be their oldest daughter. And she moved to Harrisburg in September and is helping us out there. Deanne, also, her dad is Tim Stauffer, Tim and Robin Stauffer. He's a pastor of East Hanover Mennonite Church, which is a BMA congregation in the Grantville area. So, and Hank, he's just a good friend and a good guy, and his wife is from Canada. All right, so basically here this morning to introduce, the first time we've done this, we wanted to do it a little bit more just to introduce what's happening in Harrisburg. We came to Harrisburg back in 2010, straight from Mexico, with a vision for Hispanic outreach, Spanish outreach, and about 2.5 years ago we started a Bible study, a Spanish Bible study, and try to condense this pretty much. It's a pretty big picture of what God has been doing. But about 2 years ago, we bought the house attached to us. One great thing about Harrisburg is real estate is really cheap. So, we bought our house that we're living in for like $39,000, a 5-bedroom, 3-story house. The house attached to us came up for sale for $8,900, 5-bedroom as well, with a detached garage. Had to fix it up a little bit, but we bought it as a rental property, but the way the rooms are, it's like this would be perfect for ministry in the future. And we thought, once we get this house paid for, then we'll use it for ministry. We had renters in there, and everything went well. They enjoyed it. I did mention that when they moved in, that's sort of our goal for the future. But I was thinking down the road, get things paid off and all that kind of stuff because we had a little mortgage on it. Put about $20,000 into it. But God had other plans, and we were going through this winter, Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby, and felt God calling us, what do you need to wait for? So you have to get everything in order. What about me? I could do anything. And you guys just need to take this step, and sort of giving us more of a vision for to expand the outreach to kids. We've been having kids club in our home, but not making a big effort at that, and just asking our renters to leave and use the house for him, make it a mission house. So that's what we did. And it was a process. Suzanne was there during that time. When she came, none of this was Urban Lighthouse Ministries was not in the works even. God was maybe doing that, but as we were going through that study, she's like, well, this is right. You guys We could tell you so many stories. I could be up here for a long time telling stories of God's faithfulness and providing and different things and bringing people, all that stuff, just to confirm that it's Him doing the work. It's not us doing the work. It's His work. And she was instrumental in that. And they're like, well, we need some help. So we asked Hank and Kate if they would be willing to help with Bible clubs. And they consented to that and to sort of be part of the team. And then we asked Deanne as well. Another part of that picture is Deanne's aunt and uncle live in Mexico. We serve with them in Mexico. And so I had a little bit of connection to them. And she was at IGO and seemed like a good candidate. And she, we asked her, and she consented to come and be part of the team as well in outreach there. And during this time, we started attending Family Harvest as well. And Brother Richard Neuswanger was instrumental in giving advice and counsel. And he's like, well, you really should pray about getting a board together for direction and for counsel and moving forward and establishing an official ministry. And after prayer, and that's what we felt God leading us to do. So we currently have three men serving on our board. The first would be Linford Weaver. He's one of the elders at Family Harvest, someone from Family Harvest as a representative. Marlon Martin from Lititz. He's served in Haiti. He's part of the Dunkard Brethren Church there in Lititz. Served in Haiti, and he's actually on the board for an orphanage in Haiti. Mission-minded young man, and been a blessing. And also my father-in-law serves in that board. He consented for at least 2 years to kind of get things started. He's, if you ever listen to a Heralds of Hope or a D&I presentation, he's good at PR and recruiting and all that kind of stuff. And then Richard Neuswanger serves as pastoral advisor as well. So basically the order of the service this morning, this is sort of an introduction. Hank is going to talk a little bit about Bible Club. My wife also has something she'd like to share. Deanne said she might have a story or so, and I have about an eight-minute slideshow. And then just to finish with a short challenge from the Word. But so basically in the slideshow, we have a Sunday Bible Club, and we do a Spanish Bible study. One thing, we don't have any pictures of the Spanish Bible study. I'm not a fan of just, everybody get together and put your Bibles up and, take pictures and everything. This is what we do kind of thing. So I hope you just trust and believe that we actually do this kind of stuff. We have a few pictures of the Sunday Bible Club for kids. A couple of pictures of this summer we started, sort of Deanne's vision was to start a Tuesday free lunch for kids just right on our street. We put on the sidewalk there, we put up some tables, and it's a free hot lunch, kind of some healthy foods, and kids can come and their moms. That's been a blessing, getting to know a little bit more intimately some of our neighbors and the kids. Tuesday evenings, we go down to the park and play soccer or wiffle ball, just kind of hang out with the kids down there. Wednesdays, this past summer, we started some tutoring, some kids that were having trouble in school. And Thursdays, every other Thursday, we have a staff Bible study. Hanks come in, and on the off Thursday, they come in and just have supper with the ladies there. And then, basically, not really on schedule, but every day, there's just knocks on the door, and we have a trampoline. We have both the properties in the back are opened up, so we have a double lot there, and there's a swing set back there, and it's called the Bouncy House. So I'd like to make it Jesus Bouncy House or something like that. But the kids come over there, and it's just a great time to relate. We have to obviously have some days where, okay, it's closed today because it's a little too much on the staff there when I'm at work. So that's the backyard. The front yard, this spring, some of the guys from church came and helped me pour the sidewalk. The sidewalk had been really bad. Our neighborhood is... it's pretty rough. You'll see, I have a couple of pictures of some of the houses right across the street. But great sidewalk now. We can ripstick and kids come and hang out. Just one of the reasons that we moved to the city, we felt God calling us. I grew up in the country. I grew up in the town I grew up in had a post office. That's it. Nothing else. And just this all kinds of land and everything. And so I'm a country boy. But in Mexico, and we felt God calling us back, go to a city, go where there's people. That was our call. And I wouldn't change it now. We get away for a couple days camping or whatever. It's like, man, I got to get back to my people. It's been an amazing experience. And I mean, God's grace is always sufficient. I'm sure a lot of you have stories about that as well, where God has been faithful in giving direction, giving strength, and everything for the task. So I'm going to have some time for Christopher to come up and share a little bit. And then, Hank, you want to talk about Bible Club? And Deanne, just follow in that order, and then I'll do a slideshow for a little bit.
I feel better if you stand up here with me. I just have a testimony of God's greatness and His power in changing lives, and I just am so excited to share with you. One of the things that I enjoy most about living in the city is relating to the Spanish ladies. I love the children that come over. I love giving them hugs, and then I kind of pass them on to Deanne and Suzanne to do the playing and all that. But the ladies and I have such great relationships, and I have learned so much from who they are as a people, and they are truly my best friends. When something happens in my life that's exciting, I like to tell Rod, my mom, Deanne and Suzanne and Kate, and my Spanish ladies that's right next. They are just have been such a blessing to me. And they've been on a journey of seeking God. It's been so neat to see that. But I just felt a couple weeks ago, I felt like God gave me a promise as I was just, well, even this whole winter, I've had such a burden for them. And it's like every day when I pray for them, the Lord just gives me tears and just a longing to see them walk. They're so close, but a longing to see them just walking in the light of peace and freedom and joy and hope that they all just so desire. They've been through so much. And it's just been an intense time of seeking Him for the salvation of their souls. And it's been in the last month. Amazing things have been happening. About 4 weeks ago in my devotions, I felt like the Lord gave me a promise that it was soon that I'm going to see Him do this marvelous act of salvation in their lives, at least one of them. I just felt like that. But I didn't know who. And it's just been amazing. This one lady that I haven't even had a relationship with for terribly long, last couple months, more intimately, but she just began really seeking Him, and at Bible study, I could just see that the Lord was just working in her, and she was getting so close and so close. And about 3 weeks ago, we were doing a Sunday afternoon Bible study. It was just her and I. The others were at Bible Club, and she was telling me how she feels she wants so badly to give her life to the Lord, but she just feels like she has sinned too much. She's too dirty and filthy, and the Lord could never save her. And Rod had told me recently about, you know, some of these ladies need to hear that story of the woman caught in adultery and how Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. And I shared that with her, and she just looked at me, and I said to her, there's no sin that the Lord cannot forgive. And you can be washed as clean as snow and as white as snow. And she looked at me and she said, there's hope. You mean there's hope? She said, and she had tears in her eyes, and I said, there is hope. But the children soon came in, and she went home that day, and all that week I was just praying for her, just like the Lord would just have me up in the night, just interceding for her. And the next Sunday she came again, and she was so ready to take that step of just giving her life completely over to the Lord. Oh, I mean, it was just like we were in my living room, but it just felt like this temple, and the couch where we knelt to pray, it just felt like this altar of gold. And she was so sincere, and she just cried out to the Lord for forgiveness for her sins. And it was just like the presence of the Lord in that room, I can't even explain. And like when we finally got up from kneeling there, and we just looked at each other, and like her eyes were just shining. It was just so beautiful. And she said, the angels in heaven are having a party for me. She said, because I had read her that verse that when people come to the Lord, there's rejoicing in heaven. And she was just it just was flowing out of her, just the praise and the joy and the hope that she felt. And Rod came in just to check on us, and she just told him, she's like, hermano, like she called him a brother. She's like, God did this in my life, and it's amazing. I'm a new creature in Christ. And then Suzanne and another lady that was at Bible Club came in, and the same thing. And they were like, she didn't even tell Suzanne. Suzanne just looked at her, and she's like, Maria, because you could just see it on her face. And just the joy that she's been feeling these last few weeks, and every day texting me verses that the Lord is showing her, and we're reading the same scriptures each day, and she texts what she learns, and then she's always long, like, when can I come for Bible study? When's the next time I can come for Bible study? And so about 2 weeks after that, she came for Bible study on a Friday, and there had been another neighbor lady that was really had been coming to Bible study for the last couple of years, but was really going through a difficult time. Very intense, difficult time. And she just showed up that day while I was having Bible study with Maria. And I could tell that the Lord was really working in her life as well. And it was just this battle that she was facing and fearing. And I began to pray for her. She left again saying, she said the same thing that Maria said. She's like, I feel again like there's hope. But I don't see that the Lord can forgive me, and I don't see that He can be my strength. And I just was praying and praying for her again, and Suzanne and Deanne were praying for her. And Saturday, I felt like such spiritual darkness and spiritual warfare. Rod was gone. He was leading worship at Passion Camp, but that whole day I just was in prayer and in tears. I just, the darkness that I felt around there, and just praying and praying and praying. And I had put the children to bed, and Suzanne and Deanne had told me they were going to go visit Maudie Lou, which was this other lady that I felt was so close. And I knew that the spiritual battle was with her, because it was her that was on my mind so much. And I just was in my bedroom, and I was just praying for her. I was just praying and praying. And Suzanne and Deanne came home, and their faces were just like glowing, and they just stood there. And I'm like, what? Did one of you guys get asked out or something, or what is going on? And they're like, Maudie Lou. And I'm like, no. And they're like, yes. And she came to the Lord, they said. She gave her life to the Lord. And, you know, I was sitting on my bed, and I literally keeled over and was like in this position. Like if there's an emotion beyond crying, that was it. I mean, I just, like, in that moment, the battle was won. And oh, my word, that emotion, that what you feel when the Lord doesn't work like that, and people. And the next day, we were just like screaming and hollering and praying, she said they were going down Vernon Street, you know, and they're screaming and hollering, and everybody's staring at them. I mean, you'll see on the pictures why that was kind of a funny thing for these two Mennonite ladies to be doing in the middle of the darkest street in the city. But the next day, I went to visit Maudie Lou. And she just met me at the door, and she said, I have hope. And she's the whole time we were there, and she's sharing verses with me, and I'm with her. And she said, Suzanne and Deanne, what they did for me last night, what the Lord did through them, and it was just flowing. And she's kind of a quieter lady, but amazing difference. I left her house. She lives a couple blocks away. I left her house. I went across the street, which is where Maria lives, the other lady that had come to the Lord the week before. And before I even got there, I hear this praise music just coming out of her house. And I'm like, God, I just stopped on the sidewalk in front of her house. I mean, these are the darkest streets in Harrisburg, and there's praise music coming out onto those streets. The music we hear on those streets is terrible. I pray, like, protection over our ears so much, over the ears of my children. Out of that house onto the street was praise music. I mean, what God can do in lives and changing lives. It's just, it's an amazing story, and I just had to share what God did, and all the glory goes to Him. But pray for Maria and Maudie Lou, because, you know, it can be hard enough for us to walk in a life of joy and complete victory, but we're surrounded by this, and they're not. They're alone. And they have actually a lot of opposition, even from their close family. So please pray for them. Lift them up to the throne. I just know that God has an amazing work for them, and He has started a work. He's going to be faithful to complete it. I believe that. But thank you, guys. I know that you pray for us, and I appreciate that.
morning. It's good to be here, too, and share with you. So Bible Club is what my wife and I lead and help direct. We don't do it on our own, for sure. We have lots of people that come in and help us on Sunday afternoons for that. So I guess, why do we do Bible Club? Well, you heard just a little bit there. The spiritual darkness is great. In the urban setting, these kids grow up listening and hearing and seeing things that they should never see and hear. And so we want to try and bring some light to them, show them that there's a different way, a better way to live. So some of our goals for Bible Club is to get good, get truth into them, share Jesus with them, share God with them. One of the things Krista just said, the music is awful, and you know that. And so one of the things we want to do is share good music with them, teach them good music. So part of our club is we sing, do some singing with them. That's how we start our clubs, Sunday afternoon, singing. Right now, one of the favorite songs is My God Is So Big. And when they sing that, they believe God is big because of the way they sing it. So that's do some singing with them, teach them some good songs that have good messages. We do a Bible story with them, again, teaching them that God is good. There is good in the world. There is evil in the world. Teach them that good overcomes evil. So we do our singing, we do our story. We split up into age groups then, four different age groups, do four different stations. Memory verse, get some God's word into them. It is only a little bit, but every little bit counts, I believe. And I believe even if they have just a little bit of God's word in their heart, it'll make a difference. And so we want to continue building that. But we teach them memory verse. We do a craft with them. Give them something to do, craft, during the craft time. It is short, but it is a time where we can just talk to them, relate to them, hear what's going on, become friends with them. We do a prayer station. Prayer is powerful. We take some of their requests, we pray with them, we try and get them to pray, if possible. They don't always, but do spend a little bit of time praying with them, and I think that is good. They usually have a prayer request of something that's going on in their life. Prayer, and then we share a snack with them. Give them some food. They enjoy good snacks. Some of the kids eat about half the snack. No, not quite, but they enjoy the snack time too. So it's good. We have, I didn't even count it up, but there's 5, 6 other people come in, young people come in and help us do that. We all pitch in with club and some youth from Deanne's church come in and help us and some others. And we Sunday afternoons, we spend an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever, sharing Jesus with them, showing them love. One of our other friends in the city. He does another Bible club, different part of the city. And he was talking to his kids. And those kids had been to another Bible club, Bible school, something in a bigger church. A big church, lots of kids, lots of programs, and the whole nine yards. And he asked them, did they enjoy that? Did they like it? Well, yeah, they thought it was good. It was fun. The big programs, the big music, whatever. It was fun. But they like his better. He just does a small one, too. And, well, why do you like mine? And they were like, well, because you love us. You show us love. At the other end, it was just the people, the staff were all just into putting on the program. But they recognized the fact that Chris is, he just loves them. He spends time with them. So that's kind of our goal. Not to put on a big program for them. Not to do the best that we can do. Of course, we want to do the best that we can do, but we want to show them love. We want to love them. We want to let God love them through us. We want to show them that God loves us. God can love them. That's kind of our goal of Bible Club. Show them love. Get some God's word into them. Get them an awareness of God and who He is. Because some of them know, but most of them don't have any idea who Jesus is. And so we just want to share that with them. So that's kind of what our Bible Club is about.
Well, something that God's been teaching me while I was there is that I can do and do and do and do things, and I can never show these people, I can never really give them real hope. I can do all the things by myself, and I'm not really going to give them real hope. So Jesus just showed me that it needs to be Him coming through me that is going to give these people hope. And so I live at the Mission House every day, and people ask me what I do, and I'm just like, I'm not even sure. There's, like Rod said, we have knocks at the door a lot, like every day, just people knocking at the door. And most times at my house, it's kids that want to come jump on the trampoline. Like they said, we're the bouncy house, or sometimes they call us the Amish house. But they come by and they just want to jump on the trampoline. And there's this group that's been coming by lately of four children, sometimes there's five. And they come almost every day. And when they first started coming, if we would say no, they can't come back, they would get so mad, and they would just sit on the steps and just like go like this, coochie lip, and they would just sit there. And they came to Bible club too, and last Sunday it was time to go, and they got so mad. The one little boy just like slid off his chair under the table and was just laying on the floor, and then he would like slide around, like I'd try to follow him and talk to him. He'd slide around, like try to get away from me. And Hank was dealing with his little brother. He was screaming at the top of his lungs, just like screaming. And we were trying to settle him down and figure out what was wrong. And he was so mad that he had to leave. And so we've just been trying to like figure out how can we train them that while they're here, they need to listen to us. Because we want them to come so bad, but we can't just let them take over, which sometimes it feels like they just take over if we don't have rules and stuff. So this past week they came by and they were jumping on the trampoline, and the one little boy, he's four, five, he kind of got hurt a little bit, and he was sitting on the trampoline crying, and I said, well, why don't you come sit on my lap for a little bit? So he came and sat on my lap on the swing, and he just sat there, and I was like, don't you want to jump again? He's like, no, I just want to sit on your lap. And I was like, oh. So I just sat there and I held him, and soon his little brother was on the trampoline, he just got off the trampoline and he came sat beside me. So I just put my arm around him and we just sat there. And that's really Jesus through me. It's not me, myself. And so that's what I want to do. I want to show Jesus and the love that can come through me. That's not me. They're not very lovable sometimes, but it's Jesus coming through me, and that's what I want. So.
Yeah, like I said, these pictures, no, it's not up yet. I'm not going to say anything about it. We'll kind of tell a little story or whatever, but a lot on our front porch, a lot goes on, and in the backyard, just hanging out there with people. And then there's some of the hot lunch on Tuesdays, some of Bible Club, just hanging out with kids and with adults. And I'm going to be playing a song that's gonna play through this jack here then, Trulin. A song by John Waller, Somebody Else's Story, and sort of gives that, I want to be a part. And I think we all say that we want to be a part of somebody else's, telling somebody else's story. Somebody else's story of redemption. And it's basically, in a nutshell, it's what our vision is, that we want to be a part of showing Jesus and being a part of someone else's story of redemption.
Jack. The song's not playing. That's not loud. Okay. I can check his mic it.
Somebody finding love, somebody finding love unfailing. I wanna be a part, I wanna be a part. Somebody finding life, somebody finding life everlasting. And I wanna play a part, I wanna play a part. Somebody finding hope. Somebody finding hope in God of heaven. It's my desire, Lord, you would use me to change somebody else's destiny. else's story, somebody else's story of redemption.
The one part of that song that it really sticks out to me, that this hope that I have inside of me is not meant to be just contained inside. I got to give it away. I got to give it away. So this morning, just real short, I'm going to read two scriptures. And when you listen to something, when you hear a presentation, I remember thinking, well, you know, what do I need to do? What should I do? And not doing enough and all that kind of stuff. So basically, I'm going to read from Jeremiah chapter 1 about God's call to Jeremiah. And I believe God calls each of us to something. I'm going to share a little bit of that. Then we're going to go, we're going to read a little bit of Exodus 17. Jeremiah 1, verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Then said I, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am a youth,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." And he goes on, other part of the chapter there, just confirming the call. But God doesn't call all of us to be prophets or pastors or missionaries, teachers. But I believe we can take from this scripture, God has a purpose. He has a plan for every one of our lives. Everybody here this morning, God has a purpose, a plan for your life. And he wants us to seek him to what that is. What is the purpose of my life? And we're all here, we're created to bring glory to God. But do you want to know the purpose of your life? Do you know? I believe God very strongly. He does. But again, cultivating an intimate relationship with him is how you can find that. It's not just in doing things. Anybody can do. Anybody can go out and do great things. It's good works. And that's not, if God's not behind it, if God, the Holy Spirit isn't anointing that, it's not going to profit anything for the kingdom. But there's a verse in the last verse in that chapter, that when God gives a call, he always has the promise to back it up. He said, "They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you." And when we follow his call, he's there. We know that. He's gonna fight with us. It's his battle. It's his work. And again, what are we here for? What's the purpose for our lives? And then for just a challenge for everybody this morning as well, Exodus chapter 17. One thing that God has called all us to do, I believe, is to pray. Individually we pray. We pray for direction. We pray for wisdom in our lives. And if God has sent us, God has a purpose for us, we need to be in connection with him. And then we also, you pray if you're a sender. I don't know if your church probably has missionaries out in the field, or involved with D&I and the team there. teams all over the world. As senders, we're to pray. Pray for protection. Pray for anointing on the ones that are sent. And that's what I ask you to this morning. If you, as a congregation here, as individuals, if you would partner with us at Urban Lighthouse Ministries and fight with us. And this story here in Exodus 17 is just a great example of that. Exodus 17, verse 8. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called its name, "The Lord is my banner." For he said, "Because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." So there's different ways you can interpret this scripture. For me this morning, it's, Joshua is fighting. Moses said, "Go get some men and fight." Those are the ones that are going to win the battle, right? The men that are fighting. But the battle that day was won on top of the hill with Moses raising his hands for victory and proclaiming who the real giver of life, the real giver of the battle, of victory, who that was. It was God. And Aaron and Hur right up there with him, just supporting him. And that name, that "The Lord is my banner." Banner is a standard that goes in front of an army to show who it represents. And we, all of us here this morning, collectively, and the universal church, we are God's people. He's our God, and we know the battle belongs to Him. And through that, I look at that as, okay, so we're not members here of this congregation. We live in Harrisburg, and that's where God has us. That's where God has us. And we like to raise our hands and pray over the darkness in the city. Sometimes our hands get a little weary. And that's where, from a distance, wherever you're at, you can partner with us in that. I'm going to say this, we need you. We appreciate very much the VBS offering that you sent. That was very good, very timely. And we appreciate that. But the urban battlefield is real, and it's very dark. And it seems like Satan is winning on many fronts, through addictions, murders. There's been several murders. And this might be a good way to get you guys to start praying for us. You're sending a youth group in a couple weeks, and the bullets fly at times. So pray for protection over your youth. I don't want to take that lightly. But there's one of the girls that Suzanne was tutoring, her older brother, just a few weeks ago, was murdered just around the corner from our house. And there's been a few in the past couple months. Usually, later at night and things, when you're doing things you shouldn't be doing, but it's still real, and it affects people. And the corruption, sexual perversions that are rampant. The devil, it seems like he's winning. He's not. He's not going to win the battle. We know he's not going to win the battle. He's going to destroy lives. We're there to keep him from that as much as possible. And some of the ones that you think maybe are past that point, God can give healing. He can give strength. He can give transformation. So again, just asking you to band together with us, and like Peter or one of the epistles that says, raising holy hands to the Father. I would that all men would raise hands to the Father, holy hands, and begging with us for protection and for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Again, it's His work, it's God's work, the Holy Spirit that draws. And if you would pray specifically, you think of Harrisburg, there's different parts of Harrisburg. Pray specifically for the South Allison Hill, or Allison Hill, the hill. That's what you call it. That's where a lot of the bad stuff goes down. Just pray that there be a spiritual awakening there, and God wants to receive glory from lives that are going to be changed, I believe. And Krista gave some testimony of that. So we bless you. Thank you for having us here this morning. And I'm going to turn the time back over to...